Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. I am glad that you have taken the time to listen today, and for the benefit of those who were not with us last time, and or those of us who need a refresher, let me repeat a little of what was said regarding repentance. Then I want to highlight something for you to consider from the teaching of Jesus Christ in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. So if you have your Bible with you as you listen, open it to Job chapter 42 in the Old Testament and Luke chapter 3 in the New Testament. Job 42 and Luke 3. I'll begin here by reading from our main text, Job chapter 42, verses 1 through 6. Again, this is Job 42, 1 through 6. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I retract, and I repent in dust and ashes." Here is part of what was shared yesterday. If we are to read these verses and ask ourselves this question, is there a theme here? What would our answer be? Here is my answer. I think we can capture what Job is saying in one word. He uses a version of the word in verse 6, repentance. Repentance. Job says, "I retract and I repent." Sometimes when we talk about repentance from sin, even other Christians cannot really grasp what that means. Now, it is fair and responsible to define repentance in words, but I have found that sometimes it is even more effective if we see repentance in the Bible, and of course in the days in which we live. It's kind of like this: we will know repentance when we see it. And when we examine Job's life, when we just watch and listen to him, we see repentance. I suggested two ways, both apparent in Job's response to God here in chapter 42. Do you remember what those ways are? See, I told you we need the review. What's that? Oh, you do remember? Well done then. You have a good memory. As for the rest of the listeners, here they are. First, one of the traits of repentance is that repentance always results in humility. Repentance results in humility. Second, another of the traits of repentance is that repentance is always expressed in prayer, in which we tell God about our sins and invite His forgiveness of our sins. And we spent time talking about these traits of repentance last time. Now, as we further consider the repentance of our man Job, turn or scroll with me in your Bible, if you have it handy, to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 3. At the start of the chapter is the description of the political and historical setting of the ministry of John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, who proclaimed the imminent coming of Jesus Christ. And then we get the description of John's ministry starting in verse 3. I'm reading Luke 3, verse 3. "And John the Baptist came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins." Well, highlight in your mind this: repentance for the forgiveness of sins. There is that word again, repentance. Job repented, and now John the Baptist tells those in his company to repent. Moving at a swift pace now, drop down to verse 8. This is John the Baptist's message in Luke chapter 3 and verse 8. "Therefore bear fruits in keeping with repentance." Oh, this is very interesting. Notice what the Baptist says: bear fruits. Okay, so there is something there to actually do. bear fruits in keeping with repentance. So John the Baptist is saying we do something in keeping with in order to demonstrate our repentance. Yes, this means that repentance results in changed behavior. I could put it to you this way. Repentance on the inside results in a change in action on the outside. Repentance, the change of one's mind about sin, results in change in one's behavior. We see repentance in action. Repentance is measurable in a change of one's behavior. This will be as obvious as the nose on your face if you drop down with me in Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, to verses 10 and 11. I am reading now Luke chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. And the crowds were questioning him, saying, "Then what shall we do?" And he would answer and say to them, "The man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and he who has food is to do likewise." Luke 3, 10 and 11. This is all very clear. Naturally, the crowds asked what I submit to you most of us would ask, "Then what shall we do?" They want to make repentance practical. "Hey, John, if we do as you say and repent, what should we do?" Listen to how John the Baptist answers in verse 11. "And he would answer and say to them, 'The man who has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and he who has food is to do likewise.'" Aha! That is what you do. Again, this reflects that repentance, the change of one's mind about sin, results in change in one's behavior. We can see repentance in action. Repentance is measurable in a change of one's behavior, sharing. That's how you can tell if someone has repented or has not repented. Are the naked clothed? Are the hungry fed? Today, right where you are, how do you know if you are repenting of your sin? Simple. Is there a change in your behavior? The change in behavior is not the repentance. The repentance is what you've done on the inner landscape of your soul where no one can see. You have turned away from sin and towards Jesus Christ, running to him for the forgiveness of sin. But as you do that, your behavior that others do see is changing. Let me just give you a few present-day examples, and I'll pick sins Christians struggle with. If you struggle with lust, that is, it seems like every time you look at a person of the opposite sex, you are thinking about what it would be like to have sexual intercourse with that person. Then, in repentance from the sin of lust, you will find yourself looking at women and men and seeing them as children of God, made in his image, and you will slowly at first stop undressing them in your imagination. You will see her or him as a person who needs the love of Christ. They are not any longer simply a sex object for you as you repent of sin. If you struggle with jealousy, that is, you cannot accept the accomplishments of others, then, in repentance of the sin of jealousy, you will find yourself truly embracing the success of others. You can honestly get in the car and go to the party where this person will be celebrated, and you can genuinely go up to them and say, "Congratulations." And on the car ride home, you are not thinking, "They don't deserve that, but I do. How come no one threw a party for my accomplishments?" The thought does not cross your mind. This is very freeing and demonstrates your repentance from the sin of jealousy. Now, if you doubt this is even possible, then John the Baptist would tell you, repent. In fact, Jesus is saying to you, repent. Let me quote the Lord at the very beginning of his earthly ministry in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 17. Matthew 4:17. These are the first words out of the mouth of Jesus. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I hope you caught that first word, repent. My friend, try repenting of your sin. Change your mind about your sin. Move in a different direction in your heart to Jesus and see the results in your change of behavior. If you repent of lust, you can actually change how you view women and men. Yes. If you repent of jealousy, you can forget about yourself and truly embrace and celebrate the achievements of others. Yes. If you will repent, and when I repent, we become like Job. And this brings us back to our good friend Job. Let me read again Job 42, verse 6. Job says to God, "Therefore I retract and I repent." The main point I have emphasized yesterday and today is this: we will know repentance when we see it. When we see the results of repentance in our lives, and we see repentance in the results of Job's life. This prideful, self-righteous man has now repented of this sin, and it results in his immediate humility before Holy God. On this podcast and broadcast, I want to leave you with this statement. I hope you will hear me on this. The message of the book of Job is not so much how to respond to suffering, but rather how to repent. Let me say that again. The message of the book of Job is not so much how to respond to suffering, but rather how to repent. It is seeing ourselves for just how sinful we are and seeing God for just how holy He is. Most Christians think the point of Job is how to respond to suffering in our lives, and that is here. No doubt about that. But I agree with theologians, commentators, and Bible teachers who say the real message here is repentance. And I'll have more to say about this tomorrow as we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.